You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, Series 6, Episode 24 coming your way. It's Kieran Burke and Gary Riley as ever. And guys, I'm not sure if it's European fever or cup fever I have here at the minute, but I've dragged myself out of the bed to do tonight's show. Not feeling the best, but we have to give the people what they want.
Yeah, absolutely heroic stuff here. Between the Stripes listeners dragging himself out of bed. He was a bit of a little cold on him, dragging himself out of the bed. He never... shite me life.
As I said, look, we're gonna run through the latest European games. We're gonna talk FAI Cup as well. Lots to talk about from the first round of the weekend. We've got Ian Ryan on the show tonight, man. We're very, very fond of here in terms of the job he's doing at Wexford and a great result for them against Sligo in the Cup of the weekend. So we'll speak to Ian Ryan about that and their promotion push. Look ahead to the first division games as well, and we'll pick up any other hot topics as we go through the show. We've got a couple of fan questions as well. We need to. Need to get through, but as I said, we'll start with the European chat, guys. And it's nearly a week ago now since last Thursday. But we spoke about this.
What a night!
I was just going to say we spoke about this on the show last week about some people, you know, they're rowing behind it and the whole League of Ireland family thing, and other people can't stand it and they very much want their rivals to lose, which is understandable as well. But last Thursday night, when I logged onto social media, my feed was just a wash of League of Ireland content, and that's exactly what we want to see.
Yeah, 100%. Of course, it'd be great if it was about league matches, but you know, for the night that was in it, it was just brilliant. I was shouting at the telly. I was just made up that the man, both teams managed to get through, and Sligo probably had a handier time, but Pats definitely met very stern opposition, and even based on their experience from last year as well. So, you know, it was a huge achievement for both teams. But, you know, obviously very different games for both teams. Like Sligo were kind of dominant throughout the game, and a huge crowd in the showgrounds for it as well, which obviously added to it. But what a goal from Shane Blaney. Like, I've watched it. Actually, I've seen it so many times now. It feels like it happened like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Because like, I've seen it like a million times. But yeah, what a goal, and what a great way to start off the night. And really, you know, I think apart from it being a brilliant goal, it was a real, real sucker punch to Motherwell, because, you know, they had received such backlash from their home loss against Sligo. It was just amazing to see. Such an amazing positive for Sligo to go ahead 1-0 so early on, to really double down on the pressure that Motherwell were already under, and their fans already under a case from the week before. You know, it really made what would have been a really difficult night.
The other great thing about Thursday night and the following days was the Motherwell meltdown, wasn't it? Such arrogance and delusion, really, that followed it. The way that some of the pundits were speaking, and fans as well, speaking about the Sligo players as if they were plumbers that were, you know, getting up for work the next morning. These are professional footballers, and they totally outplayed Motherwell.
Oh, they did in every position, really. Like, I think Alan Keane said in commentary that he couldn't believe McGabby was a SPL player at all. Yeah. Like, he was roasted the whole night.
He was crap in the first leg as well.
He was dirt. So I just think it everything came right. The fact that they were able to take something back into the home leg, but also with so many fans there, and, you know, great goal to start with, got everybody on side, and there's kind of that, you know, real adversarial element to it. But, yeah, it was just brilliant to see. But I found it very similar, like all the minnow talk and all that rubbish. It's very similar to a lot of like non-league clubs in Ireland they could mix it with the Premier and the First Division. Like, you know,
we'll be coming to that bit. We'll be coming to that later on when we're doing the FAI Cup chat. But what I was going to say is, I think the Motherwell fans and a lot of the Scottish media viewed Sligo Rovers the way they would view a non-league team in England. And I was listening to some discussion. I think it was on LOI Central, and it could have been Dan McDonald that said it, that if Motherwell had gone out to a team from the Faroes or a team from Estonia, okay, wouldn't be great, but there wouldn't have been the level of total meltdown that came with this. There seems to be this just picture of League of Ireland football that maybe it was acceptable 20 years ago to speak about the league like that. Maybe it was just a jolly up and away we go and have a European trip, but this is a serious outfit operating and at a seriously high level, and they showed that. We'll move on to Pats. I know you were watching that one as well. And Nang's taken a little bit of stick at times on this podcast, but he certainly earned his stripes the other night.
He did. He had to build them out a good few times. You know, it was really, there was some save early on that he made that the Mora lad should have really buried at it.
He made the real bad mistake. I think he thought Anang was coming out for it and he just stops dead. That was an awful defensive error. You think about the mistake they made in the first leg, Pats, and then some of the mistakes they made in the second leg. This could have been a lot more comfortable, but St. Pat's love to do it the difficult way. Even in the penalty shootout, they had advantage several times and threw it back to Mora, but eventually they got through.
Yeah, they did. I couldn't believe, you know, geez, here we go. And I think Pat's missed the penalty as well. I was just like, oh, Jesus, boys, don't fill the togs now. But their performance was really good throughout the night. Like, I can imagine how dead they were after such a, you know, long trip and hard to get to. You know, seems like there's no planes going from Dublin Airport at all the way League of Ireland clubs are going on. But, and I don't mean they're wrong at all. It's just very difficult. I think Pats went to Knock today to get a flight, which is just crazy. But aside from that, like their performance, they really matched them in a lot of areas, and it was just an incredibly impressive performance. I thought Cotter was brilliant.
Find his shooting boots though, doesn't he? He's got all the other boots. He's got the quick runs down the line boots. He's got the cross it into the box boots. He's got everything. He just got the boots for finishing it. He missed two sitters across the two legs.
He did, and but he's probably rusty a bit. But yeah. I think his overall contribution to the both games was exceptional. So, and there was lots of other players there that, you know, just really. Just was very good. Like, I thought Andrew Breslin had a very good game. I know he's
but he made a heroic clearance off the line.
Oh,
as well,
he did. Yeah,
a real team performance.
Exactly. It was like all hands to the pump job, which is what you need to do. Like, you're up against, bigger opposition like that. You just have to go and do it. So, look, just a brilliant night. I was absolutely buzzing the whole night. It was just great to see. And like, I wouldn't. You know, I know my own club like wouldn't be competing for European spots that often. Although we have a UEFA license, I kind of want to see all League of Ireland clubs do well in Europe, because not only does that help each individual club, it also raises the profile of the league. With, you know, the Joe Soaps that, you know, rather buy Sky subscriptions to watch their to get their football. So I think that type of thing will be. It all adds to more positivity, more eyes, more money, more everything into the league as a whole.
Yeah, thank God Conan Byrne wasn't reffing the game, or Pats would have been in trouble. He would have had two penalties given that were no more penalties. But there was a red card as well, which was totally ridiculous. But look, I suppose Pats had one in the first leg that was very very soft as well. There's been a lot of these European games. We talk about refereeing standards in the League of Ireland. There's a lot of these European refs that are making some crazy calls in these games involving Irish sides.
Yeah, there is. One of the commentators was going on about, oh, the European refs, I can't do that European competition. That's a total nonsense.
You do see that a good bit. Like the one that the European refs seem to clamp down a lot more up, 50-50 ball. If you're showing the studs at all, the European refs seem to pull that, whereas I think in the UK and Ireland, that would be like, 99% of the time. That's the one difference. Aside from that, refereeing, so I don't know.
Yeah, no, I don't buy that at all. I think the way people go on about it is if they're reffing different sports. Like, he was reffing netball last week in his own country, and now he's reffing football on the continent. It's pure nonsense. Like, I don't know where people get this idea from, but it's a totally false idea. I've never seen... You know, oh my God, oh, European game, oh, that you had to completely dead right. But then on a Saturday afternoon or a Friday night, it's different. rubbish. But like, yeah, there were some ropey enough calls, but you know, I think, you know, this is preliminary or early, like qualifying rounds for the European Conference League. Like, we're not going to get, you know, Mark Clattenburg out of retirement or wherever he's at to come down to the showgrounds or in Chicor or Tala. So I think we just have to take what we get.
We'll come to Shamrock Rovers in a second. Very favourable draws, I would say, for them this week. But just looking ahead to tomorrow night's games, Pats and Sligo, first of all. Pats away to CSKA Sofia. They were in the Conference League group stages last season. Now, I don't think they picked up a point in the Conference League last season, but a couple of seasons ago, they did beat Roma in the Europa League group stages, and they've won three league games, one draw so far. They're only a couple of points behind Ludogorets, who, as we saw against Rovers, are a serious outfit. So this is a team operating at a high level. I think the goal for Pats here, keep it alive, and I was going to say get back to Richmond, but get back to Tala and give it a good lash.
Yeah, it kind of has to be the idea, like, and hopefully, you know, they'll be learning from what Shamrock Rovers did over in Ludogorets. Like, if Rovers had managed to get that game or that tie 2-0 back to Tala, there was a good opportunity there, and they proved it on the night. But because they conceded a silly goal, you know, the hopefully Pats can take some education there. But I think Pats' own exploits against Moura, I'm not sure if they're a comparable team. I'm sure that they're in the same ballpark, but Pats now know that they can compete. They have got through a very difficult tie. I certainly didn't expect them to, you know, just plough through Moura at their ease. I didn't think Moura would either, but I did expect Moura to come out of the tie and progress onto the next stage. But Pats proved me wrong. Now, they went to penalties, but I thought they were extremely strong in both games, and I don't think they have anything to fear here. They do have the ability, the game management at European level, that they're kind of missing from the league at the minute. But if they can keep it going at league level, or sorry, at European level, I think they have a shot. But just on the game tomorrow night, they need to be cute, be clever, and, you know, come back, get it back to Tala in a space that gives them an opportunity to progress again.
As for Sligo, they're heading to Norway to take on Viking. They're currently fifth in the Norwegian league, so they're behind teams like Molde and Rosenborg, who, as we know, are big operations when it comes to European football. They were knocked out by Aberdeen, though, in a one-legged tie a couple of years ago when we were going through the whole COVID issue of playing one-legged tie instead of two. So that wouldn't be maybe a great sign. So, look, the Norwegian league, as we know, it's at a very high level, particularly Rosenborg down the years. We've seen them beat the likes of Dundalk previously. So we know this is going to be tough. But again, for Sligo, keep it alive. Get it back to the showgrounds. I think that's a big bonus as well, the fact they can play this one in Sligo and they don't have to go to Dublin or elsewhere. Pack the ground out and again, give it a really good go.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like, they do have the opportunity here to progress again. Like, a lot of people, like, I thought they made a right balls of the Bala game or the Bala tie, but they really expunged that for the Motherwell tie. You know, they were very good in both games, and I think, you know,
the only thing I would say, Motherwell were extremely, extremely poor. Any of the top three or four League of Ireland sides would have absolutely put Motherwell aside.
I'd say Cork would have given Motherwell a good go.
So they were out of season, Motherwell. Obviously, Viking have a few games under their belt. Actually, they're well into the league in Norway, so they'll be a lot sharper, I think, than Motherwell were. So again, for Sligo, a little bit like you said with Pats, it's playing smart, making clever decisions, not giving away cheap goals. If they lose one or two here, get it back to Sligo. You just never know.
Well, that's it. Like, I don't want to be saying like we'll take a loss, but. Because it's a tie, you know, you never want to lose a game, but like, you just have to be box clever, as the fella said. And, you know, as we have already highlighted, and we've seen it, the showgrounds has been a huge benefit to them so far this season at European level. It would be fantastic if they could, it is fantastic that they can play the game there. It was touch and go, I think, for a while, but I think they got the permission or whatever, which is brilliant. and that'll be something huge that they can look forward to. But they need to bring it back in a position that they can get progressed. They can't be coming back with a 3-0 aggregate defeat beyond and bring it back. You know, that'd be just a big cloud over the showgrounds in the return leg, and that's just not something you want to see. But look, I think, you know, the strength that they'll get from their exploits in Europe already should really help them here.
We'll move on to Shamrock Rovers now. Look, I think a lot has been made of the draw for perhaps the Conference League. If they drop down into it, they could be taking on a team from Kosovo or a team from Faroe Islands, and people are already kind of banking now on the fact that Rovers are going to reach the group stages of the Conference League. I think that's a very dangerous mentality. I think the best opportunity Shamrock Rovers have of reaching the group stage of competition is to win this tie against Shlupi from North Macedonia, because look, that guarantees it. It's in their hands now to go and do that. If they win this one, they're into the Conference League group stages and could still get into the Europa League. Now, the Europa League path looks very, very tough. Karabag or Ferencváros from Hungary lying in wait. We've seen Karabag in the past against Dundalk. We've seen Ferencváros play in the Champions League group stages not so long ago. So that's a very tough tie. So, yes, obviously the Conference League route is a much more easier one for Shamrock Rovers. But if they went into this game tomorrow night with that type of mentality, they could easily be shown up, and then you just never know what happens. You maybe get a couple of injuries or whatever, suspensions going into the Conference League playoff, and next thing the whole thing falls to smithereens. So the game tomorrow is the most important for Shamrock Rovers. Any other ties down the line have to be totally out of mind.
Oh, completely. And like, there is the argument to be made that, you know, because the prize money is so similar in the conference.
There's 700,000 in the difference between Conference League and Europa League, but then obviously, yeah, I think 700,000. But if you, you know, there's probably a more realistic chance of picking up points in the Conference League. So, you know, if you win a game in the Conference League, there's obviously huge benefits with that, more coefficients. So, look, if they're in a group stage, they'll be delighted. It doesn't matter which one it is, but
oh no, absolutely. But like, look, I think the way that Rovers have been going on this season, obviously against with the Ludogorets game, they can mix it.
Yeah.
And if they can mix it with Ludogorets, now let's just say Ludogorets maybe lay down a bit because they were 3-0 up. Let's just take that. I don't think they did, but let's take that as a hypothetical. Rovers still had the quality. Do you know what I mean? They were still able to create plenty of chances, score two of them, and, you know, we're in with a shout with rectifying that situation. But the fact that they are now playing a far lower opposition, should, you know, they should be looking to go out and hammer these. I'm not saying that they can, but do you know what I mean?
I suppose they probably are a lesser opposition than Ludogorets, but
They
pushed Dinamo Zagreb all the way in the last round.
And Rovers pushed Ludogorets, who are regular visitors in the Champions League, won the league the last 14 years in a row. So, you know, the same has to apply here.
Shlupi is a bit like a lot of these European teams we seem to see Irish teams facing, like Riga. They've amalgamated and they've only kind of come up in the last 10 years or so. So they haven't been in Europe that long. I think 18-19 was their first European season. The only teams they've actually beaten in Europe are teams from Kosovo and from Gibraltar. And I think they actually lost one of them legs against the Gibraltar side, if I'm not wrong. But it's not a stunning. It was ranked the Red Imps they played, but it's not a stunning European pedigree, albeit it's a very short one. But, you know, Stephen Bradley has spoken about this. He said that this team, he's watched them against Zagreb, that they're a serious outfit. There can be no kind of going into this one with any kind of false ideas. This is going to be a tough task. We'll have to do things right, not make the sort of mistakes that they did against Ludogorets. But as you said, if they carry in the performance levels from the second half of the Ludogorets game and then the entire second leg, if they carry in that level of performance and they're just a little bit more street smart in terms of how they manage the tie, then they've got a really, really good chance.
Oh, they really do. And like, hopefully, I think Jack Byrne there's talk that he might be back or might be available.
How fit would he be though? Do you know what I mean? He's missed an awful lot of football. Can you just throw him in for a European tie and hope his quality gets him through? Or
No. But I'm just saying, like these are positives that they can bring.
I suppose if it was 0-0 in the second leg, 20 minutes to go, throw him on.
Throw him on, yeah.
The big benefit Pats and Sligo obviously have is second legs are at home. Rovers will have to go to North Macedonia, so they really need to put in the groundwork in the first leg. But look, we'll move on to the FAI Cup. A huge best of luck to all three Irish sides in Europe this week. Let's hope they all get through. It'd be fantastic to see. But we'll get stuck into the FAI Cup, Gary. We're not going to go through every game. I'll just run through the results here quickly, and then we'll pick up on the main talking points. And I think Pats and Sligo are going to get plenty of airtime on the show tonight. But we will start by going through the results. Maynooth University Town beat Villa by 2-1. Dundalk beat Longford 4-0. UCD, they beat Cockhill Celtic 3-0. Nice confidence booster there for the students. Shelburne, very, very easy winners against Bray. Never had to get out of second gear. They won by 3-0. Drogheda beat Athlone Town by 5-1. And the Athlone goalkeeper, who had the best game of his life against Longford, decided to make a hash of it in this one. So that's the way football goes, unfortunately. But Treaty United 5, Usher Celtic 0. I think that was the first time Treaty had played a team from non-league. So nice moment for them. Harps 1, Bowes 3. Again, like what we've been saying about Harps over the last couple of weeks, speaking to Bowes fans that were at it, they were surprised with how easy it was at times. So the signs aren't great for Harps. Bangor GG beaten 4-0 by Shamrock Rovers. Poor old Oliver Bond Celtic. They got loads of media and build-up for their game against Derry City, but they were put to the sword 7-0. Lucan, they beat Colester 3-0 in an all non-league tie. Bonagie United put 6 past Pike Rovers. Poor old Pike. Remember, Davy O'Sullivan scoring a hat-trick against them for Longford. They weren't a great side that day. They were about, I think, 5-0 or 5-1, but they were beaten 6 here by the Donegal men. And then it went to penalties between Salthill and Malahide. Malahide came out on top. And then we went into Sunday and we said, right, there's been no upset so far. Everything's gone to plan. Even by Sunday afternoon, it was still that way. But then the upset started to come. Waterford beat Pats 3-2. No upsets between Bluebell and Galway. Galway 7-0 winners. Rob Manley and Stephen Walsh among the goals. Cork City ground out a 1-0 win against Cove. Unfortunate incident there with the fence, but thankfully everyone okay. And then Sligo Rovers 1, Wexford 2. And of course, we'll hear from Ian Ryan a little bit later on the show. But I suppose we'll start with those two big upsets on the Sunday, Gary. You did say it last week when we were previewing these games, whether Sligo and Pats had the depth to make wholesale changes. I think maybe the limitations of their squad were showing up here.
Yeah, probably so. Like, I think no matter what way you look at it, no matter who, if they had 40 lads in the squad, would have made, you know, that big of a difference. Like, considering the, you know, even with Pats having to travel back and Thursday or night or Friday morning or whatever it was, you know, that takes it out of you. And you know, to have to concentrate and build yourself up again for a, you know, an FAI Cup game against a lower up or a team in a lower division, like, it's,
yeah, even
for you need to be professional about it, but at the same time, there's a reality there as well. It's going to be
even
difficult.
Even from a Sligo point of view, you know, it's a bit lower after the Lord Mayor show, isn't it? Packed out showgrounds, unbelievable atmosphere, and then you're playing Wexford. No disrespect to them, no disrespect, because they went and showed their class. But you know, maybe to get yourself up mentally, not easy. But as you said, these are professional players, and they have to be professional. And
that's right. If you take the Waterford game, like, I didn't know, unfortunately didn't get to see it, but you know, 3-2 in the first half, and you know, Pats couldn't break them down in the second. But you know, I think it was, I was kind of surprised based on the most recent Waterford performance I saw. They were woeful.
I seen Junior came back into the starting 11 here. He was only on the bench against Longford. I'm not sure if he was carrying a knock, but surely if he's fit, he plays every week, because he's an absolutely quality player himself. And Felix Patterson, we say it all the time how they weren't picked up by bigger clubs. But when I looked at the Pats lineup, look, it was still very, very strong. I know they had the likes of Forrester and Owen Doyle on the bench. But the one thing I did when I looked at their starting 11, I just said, who's going to score the goals here? Because Doyle's on the bench. We'll come to Owalabi in a second. Interesting to chat about him. But I was looking at Coughlin. Ronan Coughlin was playing. He hasn't played a huge amount in the league this season.
Where was he?
Ronan Coughlin. I'm not actually sure. He must have been injured. He's only played 7 league games this season. So
was he? Because he came on.
In the European tie, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, Jesus.
Took a penalty too. Took a penalty.
Yeah, and a good one too, yeah. But I forgot he was around at all.
So I did as well, to be honest. I don't know, was there an injury towards the end of last season? We'll have to check on that. I think we would if we're doing a podcast. But anyway, yeah, because when I seen the name Coughlin on the team sheet at first, I'm going to admit, I actually had to go and look it up. And I said, oh yeah, Ronan Coughlin. Sure, he was there last year, signed from Sligo and all the rest. But yeah, there was just a few players in the team that a couple of the new signings came in as well. And I just looked at it and said, I'd feel a lot more confident if Owen Doyle or even Owen Abbey was playing. In the comments, when the Pats team was posted, straight away people were asking, what's the story with Owen Abbey? Does Clancy not fancy him? He doesn't seem to be able to get a look in. There was rumours of him maybe being loaned out. I think Bowes was one of the club's links. So it looks like he's out of favour, but you think this would have been a tie that was ready-made for him.
Yeah, certainly. Like, considering his physical attributes, like, he's really, like, he's rapid. Like, he's very quick. And, you know, that extra bit of pace that maybe Waterford wouldn't have seen that often this season would have been a particular headache for them. But, yeah, look, it's kind of strange to see, like, you know, we had bigged them up so much that between Doyle and Noel Abbey up front, I thought they would have
blitzed the best, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And unfortunately, that hasn't been the case. So it had appeared that, you know, it's looking a bit ropey for the future of Owen Abbey at Pats the minute. So time will tell. But as you said, that game was ready made for him, really and truly. And, you know, there must be a bit maybe going on behind closed doors that we're not seeing, that, you know, maybe this isn't working out for him.
As for Sligo, I wasn't actually as surprised by the result when I seen the team. They blooded a lot of young players. Now, good young players, but they made a lot more changes than Pats did. So going up against a Wexford team high in confidence, I actually wasn't overly surprised with this result. Now look, it was an awful moment for their keeper, McNicholas, who I suppose he's gone through a whirlwind a few weeks. You know, he was number two there. Next thing, McGinty's gone and he's coming straight into a European tie. He probably has the best night of his career, albeit it's been a short career. I know he played a lot of first team football for Cliftonville. I think he was out on loan there. But like, this is the biggest few weeks of his career by far. He signs a new contract as well before this game. Everything's on the up, and then he makes an absolute clanger in extra time here to give Wexford the win.
Yeah, like, look, that's going to happen. And
it's just the life of a goalkeeper, isn't it?
It's just the life of a goalkeeper. Like, he hasn't made, you know, he probably hasn't played enough to make that many mistakes. So
no.
I think with the attention of late, it kind of makes it look a bit worse, or, you know, but kind of magnifies it, considering how good McGinty was lately, and then he left, and then, as you said, McNicholas just piled straight in. Like, you know, it's probably just makes it a bit worse than it probably actually was. So I wouldn't be overly concerned or disappointed that it happened, but obviously in the context of when it happened, it's probably more hurtful, let's say. But I think, you know, Wexford played quite well throughout the night. It was a great result for them. Big long old journey for them too, of a bank holiday Sunday. But, you know, that's a real feather in the cap for Ian Ryan. You know, they've been poor enough until he came in last year. It turned it around, and now they're probably beating all expectations at the minute. So I know he's on the show tonight, but, you know, that's a real statement for them to say, yeah, we're going in the right direction completely, and we managed to get a good scalp away from home.
Yeah, we will hear from Ian a little bit later on. We're going to move into the Premier Division predictions for the weekend very shortly. But first, Gary, I suppose the other big talking point from the FAI Cup this weekend was the totally one-sided nature of the League of Ireland v non-league ties. And there's been a lot of talk following the first round of the FAI Cup. Is the gulf now bigger than ever? What's your views on that?
I think the first, I kind of never really noticed this before, but until it was pointed out to me. I think someone tweeted, oh, first round of the FAI Cup, here we get, or where the League of Ireland clubs come in, or we'll get all the talk of the non-league teams being able to mix it up with the League of Ireland teams. And, you know, I think, was it Dan McDonald highlighting the aggregate goals as well? And there was people not happy with that as well. But, like, I think if you're saying that all the players can mix it up and we could be half the first division, or, you know, compete in maybe say in the Premier Division or some of the other craziness that was being talked about, like, you know, you have to kind of take it, you know, on the flip side. So I think what people, like, people generally don't realize the gulf in class between, you know, non-league and even high levels in Leinster Senior League and stuff like that. Any player that has made the jump will be able to tell you how much different it is. You know, there's players that we know personally that like, you know, come back from England and were blown away. Like they thought they'd walk it.
Yeah.
Were blown off the park. Like there's some players that just couldn't hack it at all and they don't play football anymore. So, you know, it's, you know, there's a lot of interesting points to it, but I think
obviously, you know,
just the people that are blowing about it, I think they need to maybe go to a few more League of Ireland games to understand the genuine gulf in class. But even like you see players, could have made it, you know, if Miadi had balls, you know, this and that and the other, I'd be playing in for Shamrock Rovers and Tal every week. It's just not the case. Like, it's completely removed from reality.
I suppose in defence of the non-leagues, one thing that's a big issue, obviously, is the calendar. They're kind of out of season at the moment and coming up against refined League of Ireland teams at this stage of the season. But even if I think you mentioned that there are players that drop out of League of Ireland and they go into the Leinster Senior League and they do well and people look at them and say, oh, he could have met it if this, that and the other. The Leinster Senior League and the likes of that, I can't understand why they run on a different calendar. They should be running alongside the League of Ireland and there could be so much more cooperation, which would improve. We've spoken about this on the show millions of times before. That would improve the Leinster Senior League and the other non-leagues because young players that aren't getting a game could go on loan and then the top talent that feels they could step up, you know, they get a chance to mix it. I can't understand. Again, it goes into politics and all the rest. It's total nonsense.
But that's the entire problem. You just hit the nail on the head. It's politics.
Because a lot of the time you see these arguments of, this team could mix it in the first division. A lot of the time you see that coming out is when there's a crisis at certain clubs and, you know, there's headlines coming out and people are jumping on the people that aren't maybe League of Ireland people are jumping on it. And they're saying, look at this amateur hour, this team could mix it and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, the reality is in the results here this weekend.
Yeah, it's a small, you know, insight into just a genuine gulf in class. Like I'd say if Derry probably could have put out 8 men and probably won that game 3-0. Like, and I'm not trying to dump on anybody, but like there's just a reality here. And, you know, it wasn't League of Ireland clubs going on or League of Ireland fans going on, oh yeah, great, we're going to absolutely slaughter these clowns in non-league. There was no one saying that from a League of Ireland. It was non-league lads going on, you know, running their mouth, talking about how they could, you know, oh yeah, mix it up. It's just not true. And like, you know, I've seen this, you know, I've played with a few League of Ireland lads, you know, five-side and stuff, like, I'm blown away by the skill, the speed.
I think it's the fitness thinking, more than anything, isn't it?
Apart from the fit, like, forget about the fitness. You know, anybody, you know, let's say, you know, if I didn't have a kebab every week after every away game, I'd be, you know, maybe a bit better shape. But my point is, the gulf in class is unbelievable. And like when you look at, you can only imagine what like a player in that can play in one of the top five leagues is like. Like it's just unmanageable. The gulf in quality and decision making and thinking and everything. Like hopefully we should get Liam back on in a while and see how he's getting on with Fabregas. Like, you know,
don't worry, he'll show Fabregas plenty, don't worry.
He will, but you know what I mean? Like, you know, there's a huge gulf in quality and it's just a fact, like, but it's just unfortunate, back to your politics comment, that's all it is. It's just, you know, a real, you know, and that's a hangover from John Delaney letting everybody do what they want. Because he needed the support. So he got that support by letting people basically walk all over the FAI. And I'm not saying the FAI need to come in and be a dictator and change everything but in one quick swoop. But at the same time, like there's so many different organizations running the one sport.
It's crazy. A small country, it's crazy.
It's mental. And that needs to be rectified. And I think it just needs, you know, I think it might need 10 years for a couple of things to happen before the FAI can get their boot in it.
I was going to say you would have enjoyed it. I seen I can't remember what account had it up, but they had it up that Liam Kerrigan has a new midfield partner. Cesc Fabregas has signed for Como, and someone immediately replied, Cesc Fabregas has a new midfield partner. It's Liam Kerrigan at Como. So I thought you would have enjoyed that. But before we move on to the Premier Division games, was there anything else that caught your eye in the FAI Cup this weekend?
Yeah, look, there were some, you know, good results. Former Town player Callum Moorfield, he left Longford there lately and got a good win in the FGI Cup for Maynooth University Town.
Disappointed to see him leave. I think he deserved more of a crack, but look, hopefully he'll get plenty of minutes, and I've no doubt he'll be back at League of Ireland level, because I think he's...
Yeah, he has the ability. Yeah, poor old Longford got a good baiting. What was it, 3 goals in 5 minutes?
Four and nine, I think.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Folded like a deck chair.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, just a crazy few minutes for the Town. It was quite, you know, I couldn't tweet quick enough about it. Jesus, please, give me a minute. The disappointing thing was I thought Longford could play quite well in the first half. And I think just Dundalk changed their, you know, their approach in the second half, and Longford, I don't think, changed as quick.
No, as I said, it's very admirable trying to play football against Dundalk, trying to play out from the back, but it's a little bit mad at the same time. I think Dundalk was there, look, not for the taking, but I think Longford could have done more damage to Dundalk. The two centre halves were as slow as a steam train, Bowen and Boyle. Yeah. Longford got in behind them several times, and if they had tried that avenue a bit more, I think they would have got more joy. But they kept trying to play, and they actually made it easy for Dundalk in the end. So that was a little bit disappointing. But look, Longford go on to back to league campaign. But anything else in the FAI Cup?
No, just after all the jibber jabber out in Daly Mount there a few months ago with Shamrock Rovers, poor old Bo's unfortunately dish out the same to the Harps fans, and no statement incoming from. From the Bo's hierarchy, which is quite disappointing. But, you know, I just love bringing up that statement because it was one of the worst things I've seen a club do.
Yeah.
They didn't get enough abuse about it, to be quite honest. So I'm going to carry that torch for the rest of the season.
Carry the torch. Yeah. Right. We'll get stuck into the Premier Division games. And what a game this should be. I thought Oriel was a little bit flat on Friday night. It's fair to say. I think 1,500 is the lowest attendance I've seen in quite a while. But it'll be a different kettle of fish now. When
they were expecting a baiting from the Town. That's why they didn't want to say it.
But look, it's going to be a different kettle of fish when Derry come to town. All the big boys are coming back.
I can't believe it. Just actually on that, when we were walking out on Friday, the stadium announcer in Oriel,
Mickey Duffy,
talked about the return of Michael Duffy. It's like, I thought that was very strange. Now that PA system could do have been burned out of that stadium. It's one of the worst PA systems I've ever heard in my life. Not for the content, but just for the state of it. But like, I was like, oh, the return of Michael Duffy. What? Like, right, okay. I thought that was incredibly strange.
Yeah. How do we see this one going?
I think it's going to be a difficult night for...
I tell you what, actually, it'll be interesting to see what way Dundalk line up here, because if Boyle and Bowen play together again, I would be extremely concerned for Dundalk, because they played... I don't know whether they play as high of a line as they did against Longford. They were literally playing at the halfway line. And as I said, Longford did catch them out a few times. So I'm sure Rory Higgins or whoever he sent to the game on Friday had that straight into the notepad. If they play that high against Derry and they're the two centre-halves, they're going to be there for turning. And Derry, it could be a game ready-made for someone like Ryan Graydon and Akintunde.
Really could. I think Derry have been busy in the transfer market. So, you know, I didn't know anything about that. It was a glass... some glass by. Hopefully he's not made of glass.
No.
Hopefully, or there from a Derry perspective, hopefully those signings that they've made in recent weeks can, you know, help them progress on in the league. And
one interesting thing about Derry as well, McGonagall, they seem to be having an issue fitting him into the pattern at the minute, which is something we wouldn't have envisaged at the start of the season. He's kind of in and out with the team the last few weeks.
Yeah, well, did he play on Sunday or Friday or whenever they get Saturday, whenever that game was?
Not sure.
Oh, man. I know, but like, they have a bigger squad. They have a bigger squad.
They got a goal on 86. Now, whether he started or not, I can't remember. But
all right. Fair play to you. But like, I think they've made a lot of signings, you know, in a lot of positions. So, like, well, yes, players might be out of favour, I don't know. Like, was he?
Bless you. Jeez, I hope I haven't passed on the cup fever.
Was he having a fantastic season anyway?
10 goals in 23, I think.
Yeah, but
jeez, we were raving about him here at the start of the season.
Yeah, but that's when he's done all his best work. He hasn't really been playing that well. Like, I saw him at UCD a few weeks ago, and I thought he was ropey enough. But he just wasn't. I just didn't find him that exciting. I think he was probably looked a bit down on confidence, maybe. But yeah, like, I think with other players coming in, maybe they'll give an opportunity for him to be challenged maybe a bit more. But yeah, I think, you know, with the like of Graydon coming in, like that last boy, did he score a hat-trick on his debut?
Yeah, triple glazing, I think someone had it up as...
Up over, great line. So yeah, like, you know, if players like that can, you know, come in and make an impact like that. I know it was against non-league side, but you know, that's the kind of thing you want. That sets you.
I know you're saying that it's a lot of signings to try and bet in, but we did say earlier in the year, as strong as the squad is, it's still not at the level of Shamrock Rovers. So, look, we've said it time after time. But I don't think.
But Rovers Higgins squad. Rovers squad has taken a long time.
I know that, but they're that's obviously what they have to aim at. And look, Higgins doesn't sign players for the sake of it. One that has really surprised me, though, Keane Kavanagh going up there. We've seen a lot of him at Waterford this season and last season. I cannot understand that one for the life of me.
Yeah, I'd have to. That one was a big eyebrow. That was more of an eyebrow raise than Ryan Graydon.
Yeah.
People were surprised that someone or that Derry had come in for, you know, a first division player. But yeah, I thought Kavanagh, he hasn't. I don't know, he's done nothing for me all season, and you know, I think down the first game of the RSC, he spent more time on the ground than.
Well, at least the fact that it's an Astro, it might encourage him to stay up a bit more. Really,
hopefully, but yeah, no, like I think, you know, that was an extremely surprising one for me. Look, maybe, you know, look, they know more about football than either of us, so maybe they see something else. But it is a surprising one. But yeah, like if you look at the other signs, like they're signing Conley as well from Dundalk.
What a little cheeky bit of business as well. Love to see that ruthlessness.
Yeah, but look, they've you know, good history in it in the last few months. They've signed Duffy and McElhenney and sort of probably one or two that I don't even remember, but there you go. So yeah, like they're not afraid of it either. So, you know, they've made Dundalk weaker and caused a problem for them, and you know, now they can take those players down in the candy stripe. So
give us a prediction here.
I'm going to go 2-1 Derry.
Yeah, going the same way. We'll move on. Harps against Drogheda. This is a huge game for Finn Harps. Can they get a reaction?
Jesus, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think so. But
can they get a point?
No. I'm going to go 1-0 Drogheda. And I don't know why. Like I thought Drogheda were very, they weren't great on it would have been
in the league or in the cup, I mean, the other night. To beat Atlone
5-1. Yeah, fair play to them. Wow. I was thinking about the UCD game, the 1-1 draw. They were not good. That was a Monday afternoon.
Oh, it was, yeah.
Yeah. They weren't fantastic, and I thought UCD were very good value for the point at least. So, you know, I'd be concerned that, you know, they made heavy lifting of UCD, and yeah, I just wasn't impressed with them at all. Like, it's, you know, it's a good point and keeps them ticking over. Like, they're drawing their own, like, I'm not saying they don't care, but like, neither of the teams No, they're not going to catch them, so I think they'll be happy enough. But this is going to be a very tough one, regardless of No.
You've taught me out of it. I was going to follow you with the 1-1. I'm going to go 0-0.
I'm going to go 1-0 Drogheda.
This is going to be one of the last chances I give to Harps. I've been giving them the benefit of the doubt over the last few weeks. I thought they might get something against Bowes in the cup, but this is one of the last chances I'm giving them. So going to go 0-0. Sligo against Bowes. I think this one takes place on the Sunday.
In the showgrounds?
Yeah.
Oh, geez, they're getting very kind home draws after these European games.
So it's a big game, this one, because they're both still in the hunt for that fourth position. So if Sligo were to go out of Europe, I mean, fourth is their only target left. I think Bowes have a good chance of going deep in the cup. We actually never mentioned that the second round draw. We'll get to that in a second. But, you know, both teams are relying on, I suppose, either a cup run. Sligo can't do that now, but Bowes maybe looking at the cup to get into Europe, and Sligo are probably looking at a top four finish. So this is a big game.
Well, a top four finish only gives them something if they...
One of the top three will win the cup.
Will they?
Yeah, guaranteed.
All right.
I'll have 50 with you right now.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. If that's the case, they're actually level on points. I think Bowes will have an opportunity here, simply because Sligo...
They've made a lot of signings too, haven't they?
Who, Bowes?
Bowes, yeah.
They have, but they're replacing lads. Mm. I think you highlighted it, Bowes have been decimated. I think, and I was actually just on that exact point. Didn't Tudum score at the weekend against Harps? I think Tudum did. So that was nice for them. I'm going to go 1-0 Bowes.
I'm going the same.
Yeah, I think Sligo are very... Are they a bit ropey?
Well, actually, that brings us to a listener's question. Now, this is the same chap that had the question a few weeks ago about Rory Higgins and whether he should be under pressure. This is a Sligo fan himself now, and he wants to know whether John Russell should be under pressure, because aside from the European run, he hasn't been too impressed with what he's seen.
No, neither have I, to be very honest with you, but...
I think we can't take away from what they've done in Europe, but I suppose in terms of the league and the cup, it's a replica almost of last season, only the fact they've had the European results. You know, they're playing well in one competition and then they're getting knocked out the next day in the next one. And it's just up and down. And that was our concern with Russell getting the job, that the mentality within that dressing room mightn't change that much. And I think even with the European games, the mentality still, you know, they should have come out of that game against Motherwell, right, let's keep the momentum going, let's go and put Wexford to the sword, no messing here, but they got knocked out and now some fans are a little bit unhappy, which isn't great.
No, it's not great, but it's just the way it is. You've made a very good point. I think it's a matter of priority. Isn't it are Sligo going to be able to get into the group stages from, you know, they had to travel a long way to get as far as they have already? You know, they played four games, and how many games would they need to, or how many ties would they need to play?
Is the next one the playoff round, or is there one more after that? I think the next one could be the playoff round, but they've got either Bromby or I'll get it in a second, but they've a very tough tie potentially on
right
the hands.
So
sorry, am I boring you?
No.
I thought you yawned there.
Oh, no. No, just saying, I think for me, for a new manager coming in like this, I think you're going to have to enjoy the big nights that the European games have given so far.
In saying that, though, what good will it be beating Motherwell, going out in the next round of Europe, and then not finishing in Europe next season? We've spoken about this with Bowes, haven't we? That it's no good getting to Europe, having the big jolly up, and then 7 or 8 years down the line, you're saying, "Jeez, wasn't that great at the time we beat Motherwell?" And you're no further on. So
that cup defeat
was very disappointing at the weekend from that type of regard.
Yeah, and before that, they also lost to UCD at home.
Yeah.
So, I understand that, but this is a new manager that has come in to try and change, you know, right the course of the ship. You know, look at Ian Ryan, it took him a long time. It'll probably take Shane Keegan a long time to bring Cove up. You know, Rory Higgins, I thought that he was way ahead of schedule, probably not as ahead of schedule as we thought. So, you know, it's going to take time for John Russell, you know, to get players in that he wants, make some changes, you know, maybe ship on a few lads that he doesn't like, and, you know, make his own mark on the team. I think this year is probably, I'm not saying it's a write-off, but, you know, they've had some extremely poor results so far this season, and I think that's just going to be part of it for this season. So, yeah, I understand what you're saying, but, like, enjoy these nights, because, you know, it's going to be far great. Like, the loss against UCD was bad, but, like, if they did the same next year, after a year of John Russell, let's say, and they're still making the same mistakes, still poor game management, the squad hasn't been improved that much, you're going to be asking serious questions then. So I think it's a bit early in the stint.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think it's too early for questions like that. I think Shane is a little bit of a trigger happy listener, but we do genuinely appreciate
it. I'm glad it don't work for him.
We do appreciate the fan questions, and hopefully he enjoyed the little chat there. I mixed up my teams there. It's Pats that'll play the winner of Bromby or Basel in the conference.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, and then Sligo will either face a Slovakian side, Dunajská Streda, or FCSB, who are formerly known as Steaua Bucharest. So again, that is incredibly tough. And those two teams are actually playing at the minute. And after 47 minutes, it's 0-0 there. So
yeah, Bucharest.
Yeah, not easy. But no. Right, we'll move on. Where are we going? We're going to Shells against Pats at Dublin Derby again. This will be on the Sunday.
On the Sunday as well. This is a replica of the very first game of the season for Shells. Big one here. I said probably hopefully a good crowd on the Sunday. You know, there could be a bit of lethargy around Sunday evening games. But with the short trip, you know, hopefully there's a good turnout. I think this is a difficult one. I'm going to go 1-0 Shells here.
Jeez, we're very identical this week.
Are we? Yeah. Surprise. I've heard that yarn before.
Boyd with a double against Bray, and Moylan is in incredible form at the moment. He scored as well. So I think with those players on form, some of the new players that have come in at Shells, giving them that bit more attack and threat that they were crying out for earlier on in the year, and Pat's coming off a European game, I think this is a real banana skin for them. And I think Shells have a
and they'll be after coming back from wherever it is they're going. Where are they going again?
They're going to Bulgaria.
Yeah. So they'll be back from that trip, you know, hopefully not battered or bruised, hopefully in good health. But, you know, that's still a trip in itself. And, you know, they have to come back and, you know, rest up, but also still try and prepare for this game. So it's a very busy schedule for all the...
And again, Pats out of the cup now themselves and clinging on to that fourth spot. Sligo and Bowes behind them with a game in hand. So let's say Sligo beat Bowes. That's down to a one-point gap all of a sudden. I mean, they might need fourth themselves come into the year. So this is a game they can't really afford just to say, right, we're going to throw this one away and focus on the second leg against CSK Sofia.
Yeah, but... Like, from
again, be interesting to see if
from a financial point of view, though, like whatever they
again, you want to be building on, you need to be getting into Europe consecutive years to really make a dent. Be interesting to see if Old Abbey features in this one
in the Shells game. Yeah, kind of. You'd have to be.
It might be a case of Clancy. You know, he just has to taste the medicine. He mightn't want to necessarily include him, but after the other night, you might just feel he has to.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm surprised. Like he wasn't let go on loan. You know, it's if it's not working, which it doesn't seem to be, it's probably. I'm surprised that it hasn't worked out, particularly after Promise leaving. Bowes, you know, I didn't realize there was talk of that change been made or that potential for a loan. So, yeah, look, I think it's important that, you know, Pats kind of have to kind of keep it going, but yeah, I just think, excuse me, I just think for this one, I think it's just going to come a bit too soon. I'll stick with the 1-0 to Shells.
Perfect. Right, we're going to move into the first division predictions for the weekend, but before we do that, we're going to hear from the Wexford FC manager, Ian Ryan. He joins us on the show now following their fantastic win in the FAI Cup at the weekend against Sligo Rovers. Now, delighted to be joined by the Wexford FC manager, Ian Ryan. He joins us on the show after Wexford's stunning win in the FAI Cup against Sligo Rovers at the weekend. Ian, good to see you. I'd imagine still on a bit of a high from the weekend.
Hey, Ciarán. Listen, it was a brilliant day for us. You know, we getting plenty of plaudits and attention and so on. But, you know, when you're part of the coaching staff or the manager, you know, that doesn't last too long and you're back to the grind then. We've got a massive game on Friday in Galway and it's back to the bread and butter really because our focus really is, you know, to try to do as well as we can in our league.
Yeah, and of course, at the moment, you're really embroiled in a huge scrap for the playoff places. I suppose Treaty have gone on a fantastic run of form. They've won their last three games. And despite the fact your team has been playing extremely well, that great result against Waterford, unlucky defeat against Cork, you do now find yourselves 3 points off the pace. So, as you said, this is not an easy game coming up on Friday, but it's a very important one against Galway.
Yeah, no, not at all. And a massive game for both clubs, you know, Galway trying to keep the pressure on Cork and ourselves trying to keep the pressure on Longford and Treaty. Ourselves, we're in a great run of form ourselves over the last, 2 months. But, you know, that's coincided with Treaty hitting a fantastic run of form too. So between ourselves, Treaty and Longford, I probably have to battle it out for the two places.
Mm. I suppose is your message to the players not to overreact to any individual results, because only a couple of months ago, I think Longford were maybe 12 points clear of both Wexford and Treaty, and now all of a sudden they find themselves down in the mix. And Treaty, as we said, have gone on this run of form. Who's to say Wexford can't do the same? So there's a long way to go between now and the end of the season.
Absolutely. There'll be plenty of twists and turns right the way to the end. And you know, as I said, ourselves and Treaty hit a bit of form and have clawed the kind of deficit back to Longford and dragged them back into us. So, yeah, that's good in a sense that, you know, we've got another club there competing with us. But, you know, we'll just look after ourselves, take it game by game, and hopefully we come right at the end of the season.
There seems to be a very good vibe around Wexford, around the club at the moment. Obviously, a couple of months ago, you committed your future despite approaches from elsewhere. You decided to stay with Wexford. And as we said, you've got some great results of late on the pitch. It's not been too often down the years. There's been such a convincing win in the derby against Waterford, and now this cup result against Sligo as well. So the club seems to be going in the right direction. Of course, in recent years, you've been battling out down the bottom of the division. This is the first time in many a year that you're in the mix for a playoff place going into the business end of the season.
Yeah, it's fantastic, and that's a credit to the players and the group of people that we have there. That you know, there's a real positive atmosphere around the place when we arrive at the ground or at training. Really enjoyable to come in, and that's ultimately down to the players and the people that we've brought in. And you know, I think people are enjoying it. Crowds are coming back. We're getting good attendances now, and there's a bit of momentum behind us. But you know, we want to give it a right go. We want to get in the playoffs for sure. But, you know, we have to, you know, sometimes evaluate where we've come from and the jumps that we've made this year that, you know, we have to take stock. And a bit of reality, it doesn't do us any harm at times. But that doesn't take away the hunger or the drive for us to be successful.
I suppose, Dundalk, not an ideal draw in the FAI Cup. But from a crowd perspective, you'd like to think there'll be a good travelling support and that the locals will come out to see Dundalk as well. So it's another good opportunity to showcase what you're doing at Wexford, despite the fact it's an incredibly tough ask.
Yeah, it's a hard one, all right. I could have done with avoiding that. But no, it's going to be a great day. Great day for the club. We expect a big crowd. And, you know, similar to the Sligo game, what we'll do, our main priority is to you know, be competitive and showcase that, you know, the club is on the rise. But we've a lot more important games leading up to that. That is, you know, our bread and butter and what we've aimed for since we met in January.
As you said earlier on, a lot of attention has come off the back of the result against Sligo. And obviously, as I said earlier, there has been attention in yourself and interest in yourself this season. And even look at shows like this every week, we're talking about Ian Ryan and the job he's doing at Wexford. Is that something as flattering as it is that you just have to put to the back of your mind and continue the good job you're doing at Wexford until the end of the season anyway?
Yeah, listen, it doesn't bother me at all. I don't really take any notice of it, to be honest. You know, football's a fickle game. Yeah, you know, you're flavoured the month this month, and then you're getting a P45 the next month. So yeah, listen, and it's not really, you know, the manager gets, you know, plaudits when things are going okay and so on like that. But ultimately, I'm just one part of a really good group, and you know, there's lads there that are in the stand and come down training and are really good. So, you know, when I met players at the start of the year, you know, I tried to sell them a dream that, you know, it won't be a Wexford from before and so on like that, and trying to sell them the dream that we could potentially improve their career and rise their stock levels. And I think that's happened for all the individuals. So ultimately, you know, individual stuff doesn't really matter, but, you know, when that group works together, the individual stuff goes hand in hand.
And I suppose there was a lot of question marks at the start of the season. Some of the players you brought in are players that maybe coming towards the latter end of their career and players that had suffered an injury, but you seem to have managed them all very well. Denny Corcoran with another goal against Sligo at the weekend. Conor Davis has been in good form, and Jack Doherty is doing what Jack Doherty does. He's been absolutely sublime over the last while. So you're obviously managing the team quite well there. But as you said, I suppose it's a team effort in terms of your medical staff and all the coaches there. Everyone's doing the right thing at the right time.
Yeah, brilliant. And, you know, I keep going back to the group and the people. That's what it is. And, you know, that run of form that we've been on, I don't think we played the same 11 in a consecutive game. And that shows you, you know, the hunger and drive between the squad and so on. And, you know, people take the baton and go with it on a Friday night. And then the wider group is in the coaching staff, and that have been absolutely brilliant, brilliant to work with and brilliant support for me. And, you know, I have Lorcan there with me as the assistant, who's, you know, coming to the end of probably his playing career. But, you know, he probably doesn't realise it now, but he's going to be one hell of a coach or a manager, whatever he wants to do in the next couple of years. He's only starting out, but yeah, down the line, he can do whatever he wants.
Mm-hmm. And just on the cup game against Sligo, did you feel going into that one that there might be an opportunity there for an upset, given the situation Sligo were in, obviously coming down off that huge result against Motherwell, and they've got another European game now just around the corner? Did you feel there might be an opportunity there to cause an upset?
Yeah, no doubt the European run Sligo was on, you know, benefited us with the timing of the games in between two European games and so on. But yeah, we go into every game believing we can do something. You know, if we don't have that belief in ourselves, there's no point in heading up and going there. So yeah, there was a bit of belief in it. We're realistic of what we're up against. But yeah, we had a belief in ourselves to go and do something and showcase what we're about. And I think I did an interview after just to, you know, I believe a lot in the group. I believe a lot in the players. And, you know, it's moments like that that, you know, gives them the belief. And hopefully we can carry that into the rest of the season.
Mm. Something we'll be discussing on the show tonight, actually, about the FAI Cup. I think it's fair to say the only two upsets really were yourself turning over Sligo and Waterford turning over Pats. A lot of the games that saw League of Ireland teams taking on non-league sides were very, very one-sided. Is there a bigger gulf than ever before between League of Ireland and the levels below?
I wouldn't think so. I'd say it's just the same as it always was, between the league teams and the non-league teams. You find probably most of the really good junior sides that we come up against in the FAI Cup have players that have played in the league maybe previously, or, you know, have had a couple of appearances in the league. So I don't think the gap is widening. I think that gap is always there, to be honest with you. For me, in my own personal opinion, the gap is probably up the very top of the Premier. You know, you're really big clubs there. But after that, I think there's a common middle ground where, you know, the bottom half of the Premier Division, the top half of the First Division, you know, I wouldn't go against any First Division teams beating the Premier side in that case. Mm. But overall, really good for the league that, you know, we have this kind of level of quality within the league now. So it bodes well for the future.
Look, finally, it's a big three games coming up, I suppose, for Wexford. This trip to Galway on Friday, it won't be easy, but if you could get something there, send out another message that you're genuine contenders for those playoff spots. And then you've got games against Cove and against Longford, who one of your direct rivals for the playoff places. So it's a really important spell of games coming up. And then obviously the cup game against Dundalk.
Yeah, it's a massive run, but it's exciting. You know, what you want to do is to have something to play for come the important stage of the season. And we finish with Galway on Friday and then go into the last series of games. So what we wanted to do was to make sure we're competitive into the last series of games, that we're fighting for something. And we definitely have that. And, you know, we want to overturn Treaty or Longford by the time nine games come. But you know, there'll be lots of bumps in the road between that, and it's just important that, you know, if one of them have their bump, that we're there to capitalise.
Brilliant stuff. Ian, keep up the good work. Great catch up with you. Thanks very much, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Come on, Kieran. Thanks a mil.
Are you enjoying the show? Please consider buying us a beer via our website betweenthestripes.net or head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI. Thank you for your continued support of Between the Stripes.
Yeah, great to hear from Ian Ryan on the pod. Gary, he's doing a fantastic job at Wexford.
Yeah, he is. And yeah, we were saying already it was going to take time, but you know, they're really bearing the fruits at the minute, so hopefully, you know, that can continue for him. Hopefully not for Longford Town, because they're creeping into that playoff positions.
I do wonder, though. Look, I know he's already turned down offers this season to stay at Wexford, but if he is to get them into the playoffs, we'll say, and he continues this upward trajectory, how long do you think they can hold on to him?
Well, it kind of depends on Ian Ryan. You know, he, as he said, and as we've heard already, that he has turned down other offers. But I kind of think it depends on, you know, what he wants to get out of this project at the moment. Like, does he want to see it more towards the end of it, or is he happy to bring them along part of that journey and, you know, having done his bit, move on to something else?
He's a teacher by trade as well, so I suppose that probably makes maybe going full-time that bit more difficult. So
I should have plenty of time to sit around doing nothing.
this time of the year to do anyway. But no, look, even at that, we very much appreciate him coming on the show today. We'll start with Wexford. They play Galway on Friday night in the First Division in AMDC Park. So tough task, particularly with Galway emptying their boots the other night, getting the scoring boots on and scoring, what was it, 7 in that game against Bluebell. So they're in high confidence coming into this game against Wexford. But I don't think it'll be just as easy now against Ian Ryan's men.
No, certainly not. The pair of brothers up against each other, and Joe and Rob Manley, after playing, what was it, 2 or 3 seasons they got together in with Longford. So, yeah, it's going to be a very difficult task for Wexford. But, you know, we would have said the same when they went up to the showgrounds last week. So, I think it's going to be obviously a much tighter game for Galway. But I don't know. I think, could Wexford have the measure them here? Could they sneak out a draw?
No, I think Galway might just have enough.
Yeah, particularly with the signings that they've made lately.
Manley's a huge game changer.
He is, yeah.
They create the chances. He's going to put them away 9 times out of 10. So,
yeah.
I'll go 2-1 Galway here.
Yeah, I'm going to follow you there.
Okay. We'll move on. Cork against Athlone. Despite, I suppose, a recent upturn in form for Athlone, the win against Longford, and then they went close against Galway, but they got hammered in the cup against Drogheda recently. I think this will be quite a one-sided tie. I think Cork on a high, another derby win against Cove. Mm. Tough work, but they got the job done, and that's what they've been doing for, I think, most of the second half of the season. Anyway, earlier on the season, they were scoring a lot of goals and putting teams to the sword, but it's been more grinding out results of late. But we're getting to the part of the season where that's exactly what the doctor ordered. You need to grind out results and keep the consistency up. That's what Cork are doing. So I'm going to go, I think Cork might return to old habits here, and it'd be quite a one-sided scoreline. I'm going to go 3-0.
Yeah, I'll go on the exact same there. I think particularly with the home crowds the way they are as well, I think, you know, they'll be well backed at home. So in a difficult night for Athlone, I'll say I'll follow you with the 3-0.
Yeah, maybe the next one might be a little bit more difficult to call. Treaty going up against Wexford. These are the type of games that Treaty have struggled in this season. Waterford, very, very poor performance against Longford, but they back it up then and bounce back with a brilliant result against Pats in the Cup. So what way do we see this one going?
I think for all the times I said 1-1 in Treaty games, bar their fondness of doing that last season, I don't think there's been that many of them this season.
One thing to point out here as well, the pitch looks to be in a heap again, which is very unfortunate because it was in top nick, but it doesn't seem to be in great shape at the moment, so I don't know who that affects more here.
Well, it'll probably affect neither team that much, because with the way Waterford
Waterford play like they did against Longford, it won't matter a damn to them.
No, they could be playing in a swimming pool and it wouldn't matter, because the ball is not isn't very fond of the ground when Waterford are playing. So I think,
wonder if they'll have to alter that a little bit though, with Kavanagh not up there anymore, even though I didn't think he was great at making a stick anyway. But
I'm finding this is probably the trickiest round.
I need to see Junior starting here. He could be the difference maker.
He could. I'm gonna go 1-0 Waterford. I don't know why. Treaty don't lose too often at home. But I just, I think Waterford will get a lot of, they've really righted that horrendous performance against Longford.
Treaty on a 3-match winning streak, though.
Yeah, nah. I'm just not feeling it, to be quite honest. I think Waterford will be able to nick this one.
Going to follow you 1-0. I'm going to hope that Patterson or Junior can be the difference maker, because I think Treaty, we probably know how they're set up. Very compact, difficult to break down. I think Waterford are going to need a little bit of magic here to break down Treaty. So I'll back them to do it.
Yeah, I think Patterson could be the game changer here. And you highlighted it again. It's amazing that Patterson is still where he is in Waterford.
If you told me Derry had signed Patterson, I'd be like, yep, can see that.
And I can see it with Graydon as well. It's just that has been a incredibly good performer for the past couple of seasons, but Waterford, it's just surprising that he's still there.
I suppose Derry don't really need any more midfielders, although they did let Matty Smith go. We didn't mention that. That's a fantastic signing for Shells. I think he got on the score sheet in that game against Bray, didn't he? So he didn't score, but he had a very good game from what I believe. So we seen him a few times this season with Derry, and we said, oh, the front three is the one that wasn't impressing us. We were impressed with Brandon Kavanagh and obviously with McGonagall. Akintunde as well is a good impact player, but Smith just wasn't just doing it. But maybe in that Shells team, he might get a bit more service.
I think the onus will be on him as well to dominate more.
That's what I mean. In terms of that's a silly thing to say, that he'll get more service. Obviously, Derry have more possession, but in terms of him being more of a focal point in the attack, I think they'll be really looking to him. And
I think he'll respond to that well.
I think so. Right, where are we going next? We're going to Longford against Cove.
Yep. Tie of the weekend, obviously, down in Bishopsgate. I'm going to have to put the Waterford or the Dundalk game out of sight, out of mind, out of my brain. Like, I thought Longford played particularly well. I just don't think they responded to the change in how Dundalk were playing in the second half, and Longford kind of continued what they were at in the first half. But I think Longford played very well in the first half. They were a good match for Dundalk, and at that point I couldn't really see how Dundalk were going to start scoring a few goals. But I just think the 3 goals in 5 minutes or whatever it was, just could do damage to any team no matter who you're playing. So
it's a bit of a worry though. Look, I know it was a much higher caliber of opposition, but the way they folded was a little bit concerning, particularly that lone result is still very much fresh in the mind. So is the team lacking a little bit of steel at times?
Possibly so. I think the way they conceded, to concede so soon after going 1-0 down in Dundalk was bad. And it kind of shows, how do we react to certain situations? What do we do and when the other team does something? I think that was just kind of, they're probably, I'm just not sure, probably a little bit of lacking in resilience possibly. But then you compare that to that horrendous result against Athlone, and then not play great at all in Waterford, but dig it out, grind it out. There's a lot of togetherness. There's a lot of, you know, meatiness in that performance for Longford. I know they were playing against 10 men, but the way Waterford played made it very difficult for them. But they managed to dig it out at the end. So
the one positive from the Dundalk game, I thought Adeyemo was quite eye-catching up front. So
yeah,
again, this is a very leaky Cove back four. He could get some joy against them. I'm not expecting this to be easy. I know Longford have won both league games this season, but they haven't been easy games at all. So this could be a, it could be a tough one. I'm going to go 2-1 Longford. It's hard to look past Longford given the season Cove have had. I know they had the win against Bray, but Longford are playing Bray next week, and I'd be very disappointed if Longford don't go to Bray. And a bit like we spoke about last week when we said about Waterford not putting the foot on the throat of Longford. Well, Longford need to do that to Bray. Bray are in a really bad place at the minute. I know they've got the bye week this week, so they can reset a bit. But the season they're having, everything that's going on up there, Longford need to be going on a bit of a run now. They've got a home game against Cove.
Winnable games.
On paper, they don't come easier than that. I know football's not played on paper. Then they go to Bray, who are in disarray. Two very, very winnable games. And if you can get two wins in a row, all of a sudden you might just find a little bit of daylight between yourself and Treaty and Wexford again, which is what Longford need to be looking to do now between now and the end of the season. Make sure there's no doubt about that playoff spot. So I'm going to go 2-1 Longford, but they need to win this game. I think the fans demand a win in this one because performances probably haven't just been up to standard of late.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I think Longford, I'm going to go 2-0 in this game. Yeah. I think with Adeyemo coming in, I think Longford signed a player, I can't remember where he was from, Darren Clark.
Yeah. It's been very impressive.
Impressive, very impressive. I thought he was very good against Waterford in particular. He came on in the second half.
Should have scored against Dundalk as well. He got in behind and first touch was good, and then he got excited. Second touch was straight into Shepherd's hand. But he's caught my eye, so...
Hopefully that'll add a bit of, you know, pace and trickiness back to the Longford Town team after Graydon leaving. Not that we're devoid of it, but, you know, Graydon was, you know, the focal point for that type of stuff, and hopefully Darren Tark can, fill that gap. I'll stick with the 2-0. I think Longford could do a clean sheet after that 4-0 result against Dundalk.
Hmm. Well, look, that pretty much brings us to the...
I do want to make just one more question for you.
Yes.
Michael Kelly going to Carlisle. What did you make of that one?
A little bit like Cian Kavanagh. I was shocked.
You were shocked, yeah.
Shocked.
I don't know. I found it surprising myself. Like with Bray, like no matter what way you carve it, like there could be, you know, Buffon and goals at Bray, and it probably wouldn't make much of a difference. So, you know, I'm surprised that, you know, he managed to get a move, you know, in such a poor team.
Particularly because he hasn't started every game. It's been a rotation job. And even if you actually read the Carlisle press release, they actually describe him as the backup goalkeeper for Bray this season in the press release.
Yeah.
Strange
one, isn't it?
I don't know. Maybe, I'm not sure if he is an agent or what the story is. They did make reference to the fact that he paid for his own flights to go over. So he's obviously very
keen on it, yeah.
There's a desire to try and make a career in England, and like any Irish player that goes over, we wish them the best and hope he does well. But yeah, it was certainly a strange one given the season Bray have had. You wouldn't be thinking there'd be too many clubs at any level, let alone the UK, looking at any of their players.
Yeah, no, certainly. So, it's just a very surprising one. It kind of came from nowhere. There was no real jibber-jabber beforehand either. So, another headache for Bray to have to deal with.
Well, I suppose to give Bray credit, a bit like you said about Graydon and going to Derry, you don't want to see clubs standing in the way of players getting an opportunity, and Bray could have made that awkward, I suppose, but it looks like they very much gave him the blessing and said, go ahead and give it your best shot. So that was good to see.
Yeah, 100%. And hopefully clubs continue that type of stuff, because, you know, it's at the end of the day, the league has to remember where we are and in the pecking order, and we're very, very, very low down on that pecking order. So, you know, it's good that players can go on and progress their careers in bigger leagues and stuff like that.
Bit of an off the cuff one for you before we go. Obviously, the Women's Euros, it was a great spectacle. The final, Germany, or England beating Germany, I should say, in extra time, 87,000 or something there. I know you've attended a few Women's National League games, particularly the Waves. They're only over the road from you, and you've come on here and spoken very highly of the whole experience. That's very enjoyable for a fiver, good day out and good standard of football. Mm. What can the FAI do and what can we do for women's football in this country to kind of almost bandwagon off the success that is going to come with the England result? Obviously, you're expecting there's going to be a huge spike in participation levels now in England for girls playing football. I know that the players today wrote to the government, encouraging the government to mandate the schoolgirls get at least 2 hours of physical activity in school every week and that they get the opportunity to play football. So what can we do here in Ireland now to almost kind of piggyback off that to grow the women's game?
Well, I think it's important that you have to look at it from the highest level and the senior team. You know, I think one of the best things that the FAI have done since, you know, FAI, I was going to say FAI 2.0, it needs to be called FAI 1.2 because it's not that much different from what we had before. But definitely one of the best things they have done is getting Sky involved with the women's team.
Because even I hear a constant ad on the radio at the moment, Sky VIP customers, they're giving them the chance to win a big match day experience to the next Ireland women's national team game at Tala. They'd get tickets, VIP tickets, your children be mascots, get to meet the team, all the rest. So Sky obviously they haven't just come in and said, right, stick our name on the jersey and that's it, we're done with it. They're actively trying to, you know, link in and promote it.
Yeah, 100%. And it's great to see. And look, it's a big brand and it's a recognizable brand. And look, they're in the media game. They know what they're at. So I think that was a real coup for the FAI and fair play to them for that. But I think more of that needs to be, you know, continued. Like with the support, with the way the women's senior team is going, I think it's brilliant to see that they are progressing. You know, they're not in this division. They weren't in the Euros, unfortunately, but they're continuing on.
They're getting closer. Yeah,
they're getting closer. They're progressing. They're on TV regularly. The entire Euros was on television there for the past month or so. So these are all positives to just show what can be done. I think it was one thing. Now, obviously, I, from listeners of the show, I know that I'm not really, well, I have lots of issues with the FAI. I'm not really too great with the RTE either, two national bodies. But
The Pats game's on the news channel this week, so that's good.
Absolutely. One thing that disappointed me was RTE had a great series about the Olympians and how they got to the Olympics and dealing with COVID and stuff like that.
Right, didn't see and that myself.
Yeah, it was brilliant. I really enjoyed it. I think it's on the Player so you can get. And I covered a lot of, women Olympians or lady or female Olympians and their story and how they got to where they are and all the rest of it. But I would think it was on at like 10:30 at night on a Monday night or something like that. What young girl is going to be able to see that or engage with that? Oh, this is how I can do it. I can do this. I can see this. Now, there's a lot of there. You don't get the same yarn that we, 20 or 30 years ago that girls don't play football or whatever. It's a far more positive environment for this. But I think it's important that stuff is continued, and from the very top level of the senior team, there's a progression. There's success. There's coverage. There's all of those things are being brought on. You see the Women's League being covered now on TG Cahir as well, so another good thing. I was I meant to ask you about this actually before that. We hadn't heard anything about it from when they covered
the games last year.
Exactly. I was kind of a bit concerned. Hopefully that wasn't a flash in the pan, but great to see that TG Cahir come back on board this season.
Have increased their coverage.
Exactly. And even from our own club, Longford Town announced a ladies team as well.
Yeah, under 17. Brilliant to see.
And now I understand that's part of the progression within the FAI that they want to start clubs around the country with underage teams and progress them on over the next few years. And I think that's part of the license. And now that's brilliant. I think that's important.
Will there be financial support there? Because I'm sure this won't be a cheap venture for Longford Town.
It won't be a cheap venture, but I think it's important to there's people going to women's national league games. And I think if it's not there, you can't go to it. So I think it's important that the FAI do support them in not just financial means, but, you know, coaching and all the rest of it. That's all important. If for any club, not just Longford Town, that are trying to, you know, move into this arena, it's important that they're supported, because, you know, a lot of clubs, I know Longford Town had a lady seen many years ago, but there's a lot of new people around Longford Town now that wouldn't have that experience.
Yeah.
It's like a slightly different game. So it's important that the FAI support Longford Town and any other club that's progressing into the women's game in this country. But I think that's good for the game as a whole. It shows
100%, because I'll give you a quick personal story. I think I told you this already, but unfortunately I didn't get any sport and talent, but my sister got all the sport and talent. A great Gaelic player, won a Leinster medal with Longford and Croke Park a few years ago, and a great soccer player as well. When she was growing up, there was no girls teams in Longford. Her team was the only team. So they had to play against the boys. Now, they used to get hammered 8-2, 8-3 every week. She generally scored the hat-trick or the two goals. But when she was that little bit older then and could play in all women's teams, you could see she'd come on massively from playing against boys. And she was in the Longford Town under-16 team, first Longford Town team to win Leinster. It must be 10 years ago or more. Mm. But then that team came to an end and there was no further progress. There was no senior team to step into. There was no nothing. So obviously...
Yeah.
She stuck with GAA. She probably would have done that anyway, truthfully, but the option wasn't there. And, you know, I remember she had trials with Ireland and all the rest. Who's to say if she didn't step up to a higher level that we didn't lose out on a good player there? And I know there was loads of great women's players around Longford at that time, at that age. And a lot of them went on to be very good GAA players. So there's no doubt that some of them would have gone on to be very, very good players within the Women's National League or even at international level. So we lost a huge crop of talent there, but at least now with the likes of Longford Town offering under 17 and hopefully going forward a pathway all the way through to senior, it will only benefit the women's senior team going forward, the national team.
100%. And, you know, that's the type of thing. And look, as I said, I hammered the FAI at any given opportunity and they give me plenty of opportunities, make no mistake. But this is one thing that they have done quite well in recent times is work hard on the women's game, and they must be commended for that. So hopefully with the senior team continuing on their success, and even Katie McCabe, like she's a big star in the
women's, WSL.
WSL, thank you. In the UK, a big player for Arsenal. Is she captain? Was she captain?
I think so, yeah. She was at one stage.
Yeah, so like, you know, that's what can be done. That's what can be achieved. So,
I suppose you said more storytelling of that.
Get that story out there. The partnership with Sky, hopefully that can continue for a number of years and that'll keep the thing going. So, yeah, I think there's an opportunity for women's and girls football in Ireland, and hopefully the FAI and football fans as a whole can support it well.
Brilliant stuff. Look, that's where we'll leave it for this week. I'm not feeling the best, so I think we'll round it up there. Thanks a million to Gary, as ever, for his contributions throughout the show. Thanks to Ian Ryan for joining us. And once again, thanks to all of our listeners. You continue to tune in fantastic numbers each and every week. You can subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening. So the likes of Spotify, Apple, Amazon Music, all the rest, we're on any of them. Just search for Between the Stripes LOI Podcast. You'll find us there. Hit the subscribe button. And if there's an option to leave a review, we would greatly appreciate that as well. And make sure you get in touch with us on social media. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Just search for Between the Stripes, while our website address is betweenthestripes.net. And finally, if you'd like to make a contribution to help us with our running costs, help us keep the show on the road, because again, equipment blowing up this week. Had to go out and buy a charger, and they're more expensive than I thought. I sound like an old man now, but yeah, it's not cheap, this old podcast game. But if you'd like to help us along, then head to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI, or again, there's an option on the website betweenthestripes.net to contribute there as well. And we greatly appreciate any contributions we get. But for this week, from Kieran Burke, from Gary Riley, thanks a million, and best of luck to Shamrock Rovers, Sligo Rovers, and St Patrick's Athletic over the next couple of nights in Europe. Good night.
Thanks for listening. Check out betweenthestripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.